5, verse 1 through 4, we read, "To the elders among you I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who will also share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording over it, over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of glory that will never fade away."
In Acts chapter 14, Paul and Barnabas are finishing their first missionary journey. And they've experienced a lot on this missionary journey. They've been stoned. They've been persecuted. They've been run out of towns. People even tried to sacrifice to them, thinking that they're gods in human flesh. And I just imagine that at the end of this journey, they're very tired and ready to go home. And they're at the city of Derbe. And it'd be very easy, if you look on this map, it'd be very easy. Derbe is right in the middle of Asia Minor or modern Turkey. It'd been very easy for them to make their way back to Antioch in Syria in the shortest and fastest and most efficient way. They could have gotten home a lot quicker by just going east and then heading south. But instead of doing that, they decide to take the long road, to go west, and to go back through the towns that they had visited. So they go back to Lystra and Iconium and then to Antioch. And when they go back to these towns, some of the towns that have run them out and stoned them even, when they get back to these towns, they go not for the purpose of evangelism. They go this time for the purpose of encouragement. And they meet with these new Christians, these brand new churches in these towns. And when they get there, they do two things. Number one, they encourage the disciples, strengthening them in their faith, reminding them that following Jesus is not always easy, that sometimes there's going to be trials along the way. But then the second thing that they do is they appoint elders in these new churches. Probably there was a number of different issues that these new churches needed to work through. They needed to figure out where they were going to meet, what house was going to host their church meetings. They needed to figure out who was going to do the preaching and who was going to do the teaching. They needed to figure out what they were going to do with the children. They needed to figure out who was going to manage the money, who was going to collect the money, and what to do with that money. They needed to figure out who was going to direct the ministries of the church. There were so many issues that these new churches needed to figure out. But Paul and Barnabas, they don't deal with any of those issues. All they do is they encourage the disciples, and they appoint elders, men, to lead those new churches. And why? Why did Paul and Barnabas decide that one of the first things they needed to do was to appoint elders? I mean, normally we would say, well, a new church needs to mature for a few years, and maybe down the road they'll be ready to have some elders. Not Paul and Barnabas. It was the first thing they did. And why? Why was that of primary importance to Paul and Barnabas to make sure these new churches had elders? Why? Here at Southside, this is a big day for us because we are appointing new elders, four new elders to go with our current seven. And there's been a lot of time and thought that has gone into this process. In fact, literally, it's been over a year in leading up to this day. Elders have been thinking about this, praying about this. Then they formed a committee to think about this and pray about this. Then there was some teaching done about what it means to be an elder. Then all of you submitted names. Those names were worked through, and then it was narrowed down to a small group, and then they were talked through, and there were interviews, and there was a whole lot of praying. And then there was elder training that happened over the past month, and now we're here today. And we're taking the whole day of this worship service to focus on appointing elders. Why? Why have we put so much effort into this process? Why have we allowed it to take so much time? And why have we tried to be so thorough? Why are we taking this whole day to celebrate appointing new elders? Why? Why are elders so important to us? I think there's a few reasons. Number one, the church needs elders because the church needs leaders. someone's got to be driving the bus, right? When I was a teenager in the youth group, I'd get on the bus and we would be going to some youth activity, and I'd get in the back of the bus with my friends and we'd play cards and we'd listen to music and we would talk and laugh and have a good time. But the only way that I could do that is if I knew that there was an adult who was driving the bus and it was going to take us to the right place and wasn't going to get lost and we weren't going to get in an accident, but it was going to help us get to our destination safely. And it's the same way with church. That for many of us, church for us means we come on Sunday morning and we sit in a pew and we worship God. And then we go to our Bible class and we learn of Scripture and we grow in our faith. And then we join a small group and we connect with other Christians and develop Christian community. And then we plug into a ministry and we start serving, whether it's on Tuesdays in our food pantry or Tuesday nights in the tutoring or Wednesdays at Kids Hope or go on a short-term mission trip or we do something else in the neighborhood. We mentor a child. We plug into ministry. And for us, all of that we call church. But we wouldn't be able to do all of those things if it wasn't for someone driving the bus. Someone's got to be driving the bus. Someone's got to be leading. Someone's got to make sure that we're on the right road. Someone's got to make sure that we're in between the lines. Someone's got to make sure that we're going to get to the destination safely. And that's what elders are supposed to do. I think that's one of the reasons why Paul and Barnabas appointed elders first, because he knew if I can get leaders in these churches, they can take care of all the other details. If I make sure that someone's driving the bus, then the bus is going to go where it needs to go. That's one reason why we need elders, because we need leaders. But number two, the church needs elders because the church needs examples. We need examples. Everybody needs someone who's a little bit farther down the road in their discipleship, who we can look to for guidance and for mentoring. Someone who we can look to and see how do they parent their children? And how do they manage their money? And how do they handle difficult people? And how do they pray? And how do they study Scripture? We need people like that that we can look to. And the Bible says elders are to be those people in our life. In fact, that's what Peter said in 1 Peter 5. He says, elders are to be examples to the flock. They are to serve as people that we can look to. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 13 that we are to imitate the faith of our leaders. Imitate the faith of our leaders. That one of the roles of an elder is to someone who can set an example for us that we can follow as they're following Jesus. And one thing we're doing today as we affirm these four elders is we're lifting them up and we're saying these are men and families that we can follow and imitate. Not that they're perfect, not that they're not going to make mistakes, not that they're not going to stumble from time to time, but these are examples that we can look up to, and we need that. But then number three, we need the church needs elders because the church needs accountability. From time to time, someone will ask me, why should I commit to having a church home? Why should I become a partner in the gospel at Southside? Can I just attend? Can I just attend here and other places from time to time? And there's a number of things that I'll say in response to that. And one of those I will say is you need to commit to having a church home because you need shepherds that are watching over your soul. You need someone who is concerned that you're going to go to heaven and is praying for you, and is watching out for you, and is helping you on this spiritual road. Kind of like a spiritual parent or a spiritual grandparent who's just interested in your spiritual life and concerned about it. And that's what elders are supposed to be. They're to be people who have spiritual authority to hold us accountable to the way of Jesus. To be able to come to us, and in some cases even rebuke us and say, hey, hadn't seen you a couple months, where you been? Everything okay? Come to us and maybe ask some hard question. Tell us about your marriage. Tell us about your children. Tell us about how your walk with Christ is. We need people to ask us those questions, don't we, church? Because sometimes, if you're like me, I don't always make the right decisions. And sometimes I'm not looking at things from the right perspective. And sometimes I don't see myself clearly, and I need someone else to speak into my life and say, Steve, I think you need to look at this from a different perspective. Steve, I think you've gone off course a little bit. And that's what elders are supposed to do, to offer spiritual accountability to each one of us to help us in our path of discipleship. But then number four, the church needs elders because the church needs pastors. But as we go through this journey of life, we're going to have critical moments in our life. Moments maybe where we enjoy something special or moments where we're going through something very difficult. And it's in those critical moments that we need men of God to stand with us. We need someone who can stand with us at the graveside. Someone who can hold our newborn in the hospital. Someone who can hug our child after they were baptized. Someone who can sit with us in the waiting room. Someone who can hold our hand when we're crying. Someone who can come and be with us when we feel all alone. Someone who can offer a prayer when we don't have the words to say. And elders are to be those people in our life. They're to be our pastors who come alongside us on this journey of life, particularly when we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, and come alongside of us and be with us. And strangely and mysteriously, when elders do that, in some way, they are actually mediating to us the very presence of God. And we need that. We need pastors. And then finally, the church needs elders because the church needs encouragers. The church needs someone who can come alongside and encourage us into ministry. We talked about Ephesians 4 many times through this process, and that one part of Christian leadership is to equip the church to be engaged in ministry and service. And there are some of us who we don't need a lot of equipping. We already know we're gifted in certain areas, and so just show me where to sign up, and I'll sign up and get going. But most of us are not like that. Most of us are not exactly sure where we fit. Most of us don't know exactly what our gifts are, and we need some teaching and some guidance, and we need someone who can come alongside us, tap us on the shoulder, and say, hey, the church has a need here, and you're gifted in this area. You can do this. Can you try? We'll be right here behind you. We'll be with you every step of the way. Can you try? And that's what elders are supposed to be. Encouragers, equippers, who are pushing us, prodding us, making us think about the mission of God, and encouraging us to get engaged. And we need that. I think Paul and Barnabas knew what they were doing. When they stopped back by Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, they knew exactly what they were doing. When the first thing they did was to appoint elders because they understood what the church needs. And they understood that because this is God's plan. This is God's plan for how to nurture, encourage, and protect the people of God. It's through elders. And that's why we're taking so much effort today and all this past year as we've selected new elders, is because we believe this is God's plan for nurturing, for caring for, and for protecting this flock. It's through elders. And so our prayer this morning is that our current and our new elders will be faithful leaders, will be worthy examples, will be courageous accountability partners, will be loving pastors, and will be inspiring encouragers. And we all say together, amen. At this time, I want to invite our four new elders and their spouses to come to the front, as well as our current elders to come to the front, and we're going to, at this time, charge them in their new role. So please come at this time.
In God's words, translation of 1 Timothy 3, verses 1, it says, "If anyone sets his heart on being a bishop, he desires something excellent." This morning, as a family of believers, we're installing four men, John Cummings, Steve Fields, Virgil Palmer, and Bobby Steed, men who have set their hearts to the calling to be spiritual leaders and shepherds to this family here at Southside. These are men who show their love for Christ and His church every day in the way they live. They possess the quality and characteristics that Paul described in 1 Timothy 3. They are above reproach. They are faithful to their wives. They are temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given of drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, nor a lover of money. They manage their family well. These are spiritually mature men and believers who are well respected outside of the church and in their community. These are men that love the family here at Southside and want Southside to be a church called to the mission of God. As Steve mentioned, about 14 months ago, the elders and ministers started talking about where God was leading us as a church, recognizing that our neighborhood around us was evolving into something of a different community. We realized that God was calling us to be a sent church, one that engages our community and the world in a different way. We refer to it as Vision 2.0. Through these conversations, we also recognize that we, becoming a church sent about the mission of God, also needed additional elders to shepherd God's church here at Southside. So we began praying in earnest that God, through His Holy Spirit, would provide direction to provide what would allow men of spiritual maturity to be added to our group of shepherds. To some, this process may have appeared slow, but it was our desire to be deliberate and allow God to use this process for His Holy Spirit to lead and to direct. For your leadership team, it has been nothing but joy to see how the Holy Spirit has been active at work throughout this whole process. From our time as ministers and elders and studying last February and March, to our time of sharing and watching the selection team come together in jail, we have seen the Holy Spirit's hand in motion. As a congregation that was asked to spend several Sundays in joint class to study what it is to be called to God's, as a shepherd to God's church, to the time you spent as a family and asked to consider men based upon biblical principles, apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers, we saw God at work through His Holy Spirit. Finally, as shepherds meeting together with ministers and new elders spending time together over the past three Saturdays, sharing what it is to shepherd the partners here of the gospel here at Southside, we began to witness God's presence. In just a moment, Steve is going to give these men and all the elders a charge of committing themselves to the task of humbly serving as shepherds to all the partners of the gospel here at Southside. It is a daunting task, but to the four new shepherds, the good news is God has given you the most wonderful and loving flock to shepherd. This flock is a diverse flock made up of all ages, gender, race, and social economic makeup. But what makes it special is they love God. God loves them. They in turn love God. They love one another and are brought together through the unity found in Christ Jesus. Just as you are there for them, they as a flock have called you to be shepherds, that they will be there for you.
Virgil and Cosette, Bobby and Cindy, John and Corey, Stephen Kay, I want to issue a charge to you guys as a minister of the gospel. I want to say as I begin, though, many of us here have been praying and fasting this weekend for you guys, just like they did in Acts 14. We've been lifting you guys up to the Lord. And so at this time, I want to charge you. Elders are stewards. They take what God has entrusted to them and care for it as best they can. You are being entrusted with the flock here at Southside. We want you to take care of it as best as you can. They're to demonstrate biblical community by modeling togetherness as they seek to honor God through faithful service. May you all strive to have a culture where the kingdom of God is imagined, embraced, and demonstrated. May you empower us, the church, to be rooted in Christ, to walk in step with the Spirit, and to be sent out for his mission. The sacred calling of an elder is not a charge to do what every other church is doing. It's not a call to maintain the status quo. It's not simply to preserve the past. It's a call to join God in the here and the now, to live obediently in our neighborhood of the near South Side in Fort Worth. It's to plead, to urge, to love, to encourage, and to challenge God's people to participate in the work of Christ's ministry. May you strive to know God, to steward faithfully what has been entrusted to you, and to be unified in our pursuit of following the heart of God. And so therefore, as an elder rooted in Christ, guided by the Spirit, and committed to God and his mission, will you oversee the people here at Southside entrusted to your care with wisdom? Will you shepherd this flock of diverse people with compassion? Will you teach the truth of God's story with conviction? Will you equip God's people for ministry with courage and faith? Will you humbly model as an example to this body what participation in God and his mission looks like? If you're willing to do these things and if you're committed to the task of being an elder, will you respond with, "We will"?
We will.
And may this ministry of yours be met with these words from the Father: "Well done, good and faithful servant." And we all say together, "Amen." Let's pray.
Please join me in prayer. God, in your infinite wisdom, you sent your only Son to become the shepherd to your lost sheep, who laid his life down to save his sheep. Through his resurrection, God, you established your church, setting out our great shepherd as head of this church. In your wonderful plan, you called men with servant hearts to continue to shepherd your sheep, to protect them, to feed them, to lead them by example, and to know them by name. God, we are humbled to be called to this task and this ministry, being spiritual leaders of your church here at Southside. Today, God, we ask a special blessing upon John, Steve, Virgil, and Bobby, who have accepted this calling and joining the other shepherds in shepherding this wonderful community of believers. May you bless these men with special measures of your Holy Spirit as we join you in your mission of leading the partners of gospel to become like your Son through transformation by being missional and showing your mercy. God, we also ask a special blessing upon their wives, Corey, Kay, Cosette, and Cindy, along with their families as they support these men in this new ministry of shepherding your sheep. God, our desire is to be a church to be about your mission, spreading your kingdom. May and all we do bring glory to you and your Son. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that guides, comforts, and builds us up. May we always welcome it into our hearts. It's through our sheep shepherd and our Savior that we pray. Amen.
Corey and I are extremely grateful. We're extremely humbled and honored by this process, and we look forward to serving this congregation. We certainly ask for your prayers. I think I speak for all of us when we say that. I grew up here at Southside, and the elders were always the old men. And I guess that makes me an old man now, but thank you for the honor.
Well, Well, I'm honored and I'm humbled, and I want to thank you guys for having confidence that I could do something like this. I want to thank Kay for agreeing to do it with me. I want to thank the committee for all their hard work and for not checking with my youth minister back where I grew up. He would have said, why do you want a juvenile delinquent like him as an elder? But that really speaks to the transformative power of the gospel. I've changed through Christ, and I praise God for that. Lastly, I want to say something Chris Sawyer told me this morning. She said she only had one question for God when she gets there. She's going to say, what was your purpose for me? And, I think that's what we all want to accomplish here, is we want to fulfill God's purpose for us. And I hope we can all do that together. Thank you.
If I sound like I'm nervous, I am, for many reasons. But first of all, I'd like to thank God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit for giving me the opportunity to serve this congregation as an elder. I want to thank you for you who have submitted my name, for considering this ministry, and those who guided by the Holy Spirit in selecting process. I will do all that I can to ensure the spiritual growth of this congregation and uphold the doctrine of Christ. I will seek to honor God through faithful servants and shepherding this flock at Southside. Again, thank you. May God bless us all.
Well, to serve, typically a servant is not honored in front of large groups of people. It's not usually a servant's position. And that's what I want to be, is a servant to you all. And so this is a really good way to let everyone know that as your servant, I'm available and committed to you to help you in any way I can as we work together to grow closer to Jesus and to serve him more. And I believe that together we can glorify his name in this community. And my hope is that none of you will ever feel hesitant or anxious about asking me or telling me whatever you need help with in that regard. And that's what I want to be here to do for all of you. Thanks.
Well, I'm here to speak on behalf of the congregation to the new elders and to those who have been serving. We appreciate you taking on this responsibility. We trust that God's Spirit will guide you, and we want you to know that we are praying for you, that you will act justly, that you will love mercy, and that you will walk humbly with God. We commit, as your congregation, as Christ's congregation here, to follow your leadership, and to express that commitment, we ask that all of us together, let's say this verse from Hebrews 13. And this is really an admonition to one another as we accept the leadership and submit here and follow with these leaders. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account.
Very good. Very good. At this time in our service here at Southside, we have the tradition of offering the invitation. And we do that for a couple of reasons. It's a chance for us to invite people who have something on their heart, have a prayer request, have sin that they need to repent of, or they just have a burden they're carrying, to come to one of their elders or ministers and share that and let that be prayed over. It's also a time where we invite people to make the decision to be baptized. If you're ready to become a part of the body of Christ, to repent of your sins, be baptized into Christ, we welcome you to the front during this time. And the way we do this invitation is we have all of the elders stand around the building. And we started this a number of years ago, and we did this for a couple of reasons. We thought, number one, this will just make things a lot easier. You don't have to walk all the way up to the front. You can just walk to a corner or to a side and just have prayer there. And I think that's been good for us as a church. Every Sunday, I get to see the whole gamut of things. And just about every Sunday, somebody is praying somewhere. There's prayers being offered all over this auditorium on Sunday, and that's a wonderful and beautiful thing. It's a healthy thing. But the second reason why we do it that way is because we wanted to have a time where we just make it clear to the congregation, we're all here. All the elders are here. All the ministers are here. We're all here available and accessible for ministry. We're here to love. We're here to serve, like Bobby said. We're here to help anyone we can. And so that's what we're going to do now. The new elders and the current elders, they're not new anymore. I need to quit saying that. All the elders are going to surround this auditorium. In fact, I'm going to ask them to go ahead and do that right now and find their place around the auditorium. And this is kind of a symbol. It's a symbol to all of us that they are all available and accessible for ministry and for service. Any need that we have, we can walk to one of them. And they'll pray with us, they'll encourage us, they'll help us. If you have a need, please come now as together we stand and sing. Oh.